Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning. Want to welcome everyone here today. Want to thank our host, Niagara County Sheriff Mike Filicetti. I am, of course, New York State Senator and Senate Republican Leader Rob Ort. I am joined by several of my colleagues from the state legislature. I'm joined by the sponsor of the bill we're here to talk about today, the PROTECT Act, Senator Pam Helming, our conference chair, represents part of Monroe County and then a district largely in the Finger Lakes. We are joined by Senator George Borrello, my colleague from the Southern Tier area here in Western New York, Assemblyman Angelo Morinello, who represents, like me, Niagara County. Also, we are joined by County Clerk Joe Jastrzemski, Niagara County Sheriff Mike Filicetti, and Monroe County Sheriff Todd Baxter is here as well. And then we're also joined by Pastor Donaldson. And the reason I'm glad the pastor's here, because this bill, when it was being crafted by Senator Helming and her team, they did something that does not happen often in Albany, particularly around the area of, I would say, law enforcement, but even more broadly than that. We've seen, she could certainly tell you, Senator Borrello could tell you, Assemblyman Morinello could tell you, a lot of bills where it seems glaringly, there's a glaring absence of people who are at the table when these pieces of legislation are crafted. So, for instance, when bail reform was put into place, no DAs and no police officers were ever a part of the conversation about reforming the bail laws in New York State in 2019. And we have seen that trend continue. Unlike that, Senator Helming brought in faith leaders, brought in police officers when she was crafting this legislation, because it is important to have people from maybe different perspectives, but that's how you get good legislation. That's how you get good policy. And that's how you get policy that actually keeps people safe and is maybe more fair or more just or more humane. And we haven't seen that. We've been thrust into an environment where you seem to have to choose. Either everyone is unsafe, or maybe there's, you know, the other side of the equation where we're not seeking out those fair or just responses every time. And I would tell you that as New Yorkers, you don't have to pick. It's not a bifurcated reality. You can have both. You can have justice, you can have fairness in front of the law, and we can live in safe communities. We don't have to pick, as sometimes I feel in Albany we've been made to think. For the last several years, we've seen a bevy of legislation sponsored by the Democratic majorities in Albany that has aimed at criminal justice reform. The result has been the same. The result has been more violent offenders in our communities. Full stop. And every law enforcement official could tell you that, and every judge could tell you that. And it's a combination of the way the laws are drafted handcuffing our judges instead of our criminals. And also, we have made law enforcement's job much more difficult in how they police and protect us. They're still out there doing it, but it's more dangerous for them, and it's more dangerous for the people who live in our communities. And you don't have to take my word for it. Just recently, there was a situation in Western New York. Amanda Thompson, murdered by her boyfriend, then boyfriend, former boyfriend. Now, her boyfriend had been arrested for manslaughter and was released by the parole board. And then there had been a domestic situation where police had been contacted yet again with Amanda. And yet this individual remained on the streets where he could ultimately kill Amanda. And when we made some of the changes in bail and discovery, our conference stood up and said this was going to be bad for domestic violence victims specifically, because very often when there's a domestic violence issue, if that person is released on a desk appearance ticket or released with the least restrictive means to ensure their return to court, they are going to, in many cases, they live with the person that there is the issue with. They're going to return to that home. They're going to return to where, and you're going to have a worse situation. And that's exactly what happened. It blows my mind, and we're not here to necessarily talk about the parole board specifically, but it blows my mind that we are releasing cop killers and people who have murdered and killed people, and then we're surprised, I suppose, when they do it again. I'm not surprised. When someone who's been in and out of jail multiple times their whole life, some people aren't going to be rehabilitated. The goal is to simply remove them from the society so they can't create more victims. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That's my view. I'm not here to say that everyone can be rehabilitated, because they can't. The guy on the train in North Carolina is beyond rehabilitation. There's one solution for that person, and I won't say what it is. It's not even jail. It's something else, something more final. Arrested 16 times, 17 times, and we're surprised that he murdered somebody. We're horrified that he murdered somebody. It has become a joke. The justice system right now has become a joke, not just even in New York. And I'll tell you what, in many cases, the train situation, Amanda Thompson, in some ways were unique. But in many cases, we often focus, my colleagues have focused, we hear a lot of conversation about the race and ethnicity when we have these issues. And there's a lot of focus on the race or ethnicity of perpetrators of crimes, right? People who are arrested for crimes. I just don't feel there's that same focus on the victims of the crimes. Because most of these crimes, the victims, are also people of color. They're people who live in communities where the majority of that community are people of color, are ethnic minorities. But that isn't as important as the guy who committed the assault or the robbery or the murder or the rape or whatever. And we have to stop. Ultimately, if you commit a crime and if you've been in and out of jail multiple times, that has to carry the most weight. Not the color of your skin, not where you come from, not your zip code. If you've been in and out of jail 16 times, 17 times, 21 times, police officer in New York City, killed by a man who was arrested 21 times previously. That is a career criminal whose only answer should be in jail. And yet, there he was on the street, in the community, and he killed a police officer in New York City, I think it was a year and a half ago or so. So that's where the PROTECT Act sort of comes out of. Senator Helming, working with, I know, Sheriff Baxter, in Monroe County. I do have a piece of Monroe County. The sheriff and I have talked about this. Sheriff Felicetti and I have talked about this. But she wanted to work with law enforcement. Imagine that, a law enforcement bill that takes into account the opinions and thoughts of the people we ask to protect us. That should not be a novel thing. And yet it is. But she took that. That's what leadership is, by the way. That's how you craft real policy. So I want to commend my colleague, Senator Helming, for doing that. I want to commend Sheriff Baxter. He's not sitting there saying, let's just go back. He's saying, how do we go forward? But it ain't with just this. We have to go forward in a smarter way where we listen to the men and women who wear that uniform that we then ask to go and protect us in very dangerous situations. In the city of Rochester, it is a dangerous situation today. Maybe more dangerous than any place in Western New York. And I say that with no degree, certainly of pride, but it is a fact. But she sat down with faith leaders to hear their perspective, to hear law enforcement's perspective. And this is sponsored by, or at least was, by a Democrat in the assembly, Billy Jones. Now, Billy Jones left to go work at a college up in the North Country, but he's a Democrat. And he sponsored this bill. This was a bipartisan piece of legislation. And it should be. And it has to be. If we're going to get it passed, it has to be supported by Democrats and Republicans. So, yes, everyone standing up here, at least the electeds, are Republican. But that's who represents Niagara County. But there is no excuse and no reason that Democrats can't support this legislation for the betterment and safety of our communities and our members of law enforcement. I can promise you, not every police officer is a registered Republican. I know several myself that are not. Certainly, faith leaders come from all different backgrounds. And our constituents, when you talk about safety, no one asks, police officer never asks what your voter registration is before they respond to a call. And by the way, the person making the call, they don't ask for their voter registration. They just want someone to come and protect them. Everybody deserves to live in a safe community. Everybody. I don't care what your color is. I don't care where you came from. I don't care how poor you are or wealthy you are. Everyone deserves to live in a safe community. And that's what this act aims to do. I'm going to let the senator talk about the specifics of it's her bill. But again, she has done a terrific job putting this legislation together. This doesn't happen enough in our state capitol. And I am proud to call her certainly a friend and a colleague and the sponsor of this bill. And it's my honor to call up my colleague, Senator Pam Helming.
Thank you, Leader Ort. I appreciate everyone taking the time to be here today. This is an important topic, as the leader said, and I have to say that people, they don't feel safe in our communities. I know lately there have been some reports out saying that data shows that crime is down. I don't believe that's true. I don't know where that data is coming from. I think maybe it's being misinterpreted, because when I look at the data, we are seeing that crime is still well above what it was pre-pandemic. That's what the statistics show. I don't know if others are trying to say that, well, it's a little bit better than 2023. It's not where it needs to be. Again, the public just doesn't feel safe. I hear that all the time from the people I represent. Doesn't matter where I'm at. I just held mobile office hours, three different mobile office hours. Number one concern, what are we doing to address the crime issue? What are we doing to keep dangerous people off of our streets? I'm in the grocery store with my husband or at the gas station. I get asked, Pam, what are we doing? We had another homicide. What are we doing to stop this? And my answer to them, I try to be truthful all the time. The response is, we have this problem because New York State is one of the only states in our entire nation, that does not allow courts to consider public safety when making pretrial decisions. That's not good. Not good. But of course, when I give people that response, they ask me, well, why not? Why doesn't New York State allow that? And I think that's a very reasonable question, right? When something's broke, you fix it. And that should be the case when it involves something as important as protecting our families, our seniors, and our local businesses. And when we do nothing, when the majority in the Senate, the Assembly, and the governor, when they choose to bury their heads in the sand and do nothing, it jeopardizes another person's life every single day. But the good news, as Senator Ort said, we have a common sense solution that's targeted policy to fix this problem. It's legislation called the Protect Act. And just to give you a little more detail on the Protect Act, under this bill, the courts would be required to use a standardized assessment tool that's developed by the New York State Division of Criminal Justice to help determine the potential threat posed by individuals who are charged with a Class A misdemeanor or a felony. So it's not everyone who goes through this process, it's the serious offenders. Individuals who are determined to be a danger to themselves, to the community, or to others can be held pretrial. And I think this is very important, and this is something we hear about all the time. Under the PROTECT Act, repeat offenders arrested for a new Class A or a felony while on pretrial release will remain in custody unless a judge determines their risk to reoffend has been sufficiently mitigated. We included three critical safeguards in this bill. First, judges must make pretrial custody determinations based on risk, not on a person's ability to financially pay for bail. Second, every pretrial custody decision must be made in 48 hours, so no one is held without timely judicial review. And third, the PROTECT Act acknowledges the mental health crisis that contributes to crimes, and it supports mental health interventions. So the leader mentioned Sheriff Todd Baxter, who has been an incredible partner in the development of this bill, and I want to say thank you to the sheriff again. The sheriff has worked so closely with my office and also with a number of consortiums for safer communities across the entire state of New York. And I know the leader mentioned the religious leaders from Monroe County who are here with us today, and I thank you both for being here. Of course, the consortium was made up of many religious leaders, many local elected officials, including the mayor from Honeyer Falls, Rick Milne, who's also a Monroe County legislator. Rick, I thank you for being here as well. Our consortiums include a large number of not-for-profit leaders and business leaders. And I just want to comment on how important it was to have the business leaders. Hearing from the, you know, we hear about the tragedies, about the horrendous crimes that occur when repeat offenders are let back out on the streets. But something that really never resonated with me until I heard from the consortiums is how these crimes are driving up costs for business. And that translates into higher costs for everyone on products and goods and services. So I appreciate this very unique, this very diverse team coming together to help us make the best bill possible. Throughout the drafting of the bill, as you can imagine, we listened to the feedback from everyone. And as a result of this incredible, and I have to stress that, incredible team effort and collaboration, we now have a truly nonpartisan policy that will allow us to strengthen current public safety laws, and the bottom line is to protect people. We worked really hard to garner statewide support for this legislation. We have support from the New York State Sheriff's Association, the Monroe County Consortium for Safe Communities, the Finger Lakes Consortium, the Niagara Region Consortium, the Central New York Consortium, Erie County, Lifespan of Greater Rochester, the Monroe County Association of Police Chiefs, the New York State Car Wash, and so many local municipalities. And where we go from here is we're going to continue doing these press conferences across the entire state of New York. As I said, this is an important issue to so many people. We're going to continue to garner support, and we're going to deliver this again to the governor and the legislature and really push for them to do one of two things. One, pass the legislation and create the change that's needed. Or two, the governor can put this into her budget language and we can pass it that way. But this is common sense legislation that will help keep dangerous individuals off our streets. And really, I have to say it again, our colleagues in the legislature and the governor owe it to every victim, every law enforcement officer working to keep us safe, and every person who simply wants to live without fear to enact the PROTECT Act. At this time, it is my privilege and honor to introduce Sheriff Baxter.
Thank you. I'm going to echo a few words, but first of all, I want to speak on behalf of law enforcement. There wasn't a law enforcement official, at least in Monroe County, that didn't realize that bail reform needed to occur. We wanted bail reform. Bail reform was implemented years ago. There was no adjustments for decades and decades. It was actually being bastardized the way it was being implemented. With that, we had no input in the corrective action. And with that, we also know that any plan, once it's executed, it needs to be evaluated and adjusted. Any plan, a business plan, law, there's no perfect plan ever implemented. Our military experience tells us as soon as you cross the line of departure, you start adjusting your plan. That's just what you do. Where this, there's no sitting down at the table and saying, how can we make it better? What are the gaps in the system? And we've been screaming since 2019, we, law enforcement, knocking on doors at the legislators in Albany, knocking on the governor's door saying, we need to adjust this, this is bad. We are not able to do our job, public safety, and keep the public safe. We aren't. We're failing at that mission. And we're getting nowhere with that. So we formed these consortiums. We talked to pastors from the inner cities. We talked to crime victim groups. We talked to legislators of how we can get this across the finish line and make just simple adjustments, not go back to where we were with bail reform, clear as day. But there are gaps in the system. We see repeat offenders daily raising havoc. We looked at the books of four box stores in Monroe County. They let us look at their unreported theft of $7.3 million over almost 18 months. $7.3 million, four stores, Rochester, New York, over 18 months. You and I are paying for that. We can afford it. The poor people in our communities can't afford that. That's not fair. It's not fair to them. And I can show you poster child after poster child, the repeat offenders in Monroe County. Here's another staggering thing. The violence that the senator mentioned in the city of Rochester, off the charts, 200% increase in violence, gun violence. And we've done some phenomenal thing with law enforcement. But one of the gaps is we're at 50% of the people we arrested with guns, which is dangerous business for a police officer, by the way. We're released on low bail or no bail. Low bail is $5,000 or less. 50% of the people in Monroe County, hundreds of gun arrests, were released low bail, no bail. When you create law, you also create culture. You told judges least restrictive means. The law did. We've had that adjusted, but the law set that culture. We told them that the judges in law, preponderance of release. That's in the parole violation law. Preponderance, you will release people, the preponderance release. We're saying if we catch a guy with a gun in Rochester, New York, an illegal gun, he's probably pretty dangerous. There should be a preponderance of detention. And then, like the sheriff and I in our jails, intervention. Let's give that guy a timeout and intervene in his life. That's all we're asking for. 48 hours, stabilize this person. Let's get them under control. If it's an addiction problem, let's get them in the medical assisted treatment wing of our jails, and let's get them bed to bed as opposed to an appearance ticket, and they're adding felony after felony and costing us millions of dollars. This is well-rounded legislation. This is middle of the road. It's not everything I want in law enforcement. I would take out the AMIS, and let's just talk about repeat offenders. But we think this is well-rounded, that we can get it across the finish line. We can push this and get bipartisan legislation, which we know we need to push this across the finish line in Albany. So we're not asking for everything. We're just asking for simple adjustments to address a repeat offender and redress these dangerous individuals in our communities. And we know who they are. We can articulate that. And as Senator Helmy mentions, we are the only state that doesn't have a danger standard. New Jersey has a danger standard. I always bring that up as a joke. New Jersey has a danger. Why cannot we have a danger standard? And to think about those gun charges, I'll just leave this as a stat. So far in the Monroe County Jail in the last almost 2 years, we've held on federal gun charges over 160 individuals because we could not hold them on state charges. We went out, we got the guy with the gun off the streets of Rochester, and we had to go to our federal partners, wake up magistrates, wake up the ATF, and wake up a federal prosecutor at 3 o'clock in the morning to do the job which state is supposed to do. That's a state function. But we got 160 people off the streets of Rochester. And you ask why crime might be going down, I think we need to give some credit to those law enforcement officials out there risking their lives and for federal government willing to step up and fill the gap where we have vacancies in our New York State gap. I appreciate the senator for stepping up to the plate, writing this great legislation, middle of the road, bipartisan, we believe. We're just asking the public to consider it and ask questions of your legislators. What is going on here? Why can't you support this? And with that, I'm going to turn it over to our host, Sheriff Filicetti, and really appreciate you having us here.
Thank you, Sheriff. Okay. Good morning. First, I'd like to thank Senator Helming for proposing and pushing this legislation forward. Senator Ort, Senator Borello for signing on as co-sponsors, and for Assemblyman Morinello, who's always there supporting law enforcement. It's so important. Business owners here in Niagara County. This bill that we're talking about today seeks to address a dangerousness standard for our communities. I think that makes sense to most of us. Who would want a dangerous criminal out on the streets? Who wants repeat offenders out committing crimes again and victimizing more people? And who doesn't want to see an individual with mental health concerns have those addressed? I mean, this to me is common sense. Without this tool, we're seeing repeat offenders here in Niagara County, and we're not different than Monroe County or anywhere else. They're out victimizing the public over and over again, and we're seeing dangerous criminals out to again victimize. So some real-world examples. And again, we're not unique here. You all go to stores. You go into stores here in Niagara County, you're seeing things behind screens, behind locked cabinets, more and more and more things. And I was in a chain store the other day, and everything's locked up, and I had to wait for somebody to come and get it out. And I was in civilian clothes, and I said to the clerk, I said, why is everything locked up? And he looked at me, and he said, because everybody's stealing everything. We have to keep it locked up. And then he looked at me, and he said, you're the sheriff, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I can't even hide in here in civilian clothes. But this is the point is business owners have to lock all their things up because they can't protect it. They can't do anything about it. Even when we arrest people, they're back stealing again. I would say to you, if bail reform and other flawed criminal justice reforms worked, why do they have to have all their stuff locked up? Why do they have to have all their merchandise locked up? I can tell you that larcenies have spiked. Shoplifting has spiked here in Niagara County with no end in sight. They continue to do it. They've been arrested multiple times, and they just continue to do it. Stolen vehicles is another huge issue that we've been dealing with here. Spiked, no repercussions. You know, some people may say, oh, it's a stolen vehicle. What's the big deal? You know, you come out to your driveway in the morning planning to go to work, and your car is gone. Time and time again, we've been dealing with these. And they take the cars, they joyride them, they end up in the next county over. Again and again and again. There's been publications, probably through your news outlets, of people that have been arrested 8-9 times for stealing cars. And then we're getting in a high-speed pursuit with them here in Niagara County in another stolen car. Why? Why? I don't know why people think this is the norm or it should be acceptable. Senator Ort mentioned domestic violence victims. Why wouldn't we want to do more to help our domestic violence victims? I mean, we had a case here in Niagara County of an individual, a violent domestic, who was locked up, released, and the victim had some comfort knowing that he was locked up for a little while. Not knowing he got out, she woke up to him standing over her with a knife. I mean, I don't know how many cases we have to see of domestic violence victims being re-victimized because the offenders aren't held. This PROTECT Act fixes a lot of these things I'm talking about, the retail theft, the spike in stolen vehicles, protects domestic violence victims. It's just shocking to me that, again, that people don't see this as common sense legislation. I can give you example after example of repeat offenders that are out committing crimes and dangerous criminals that are out there. I can't say how much I fully support this legislation. I see it firsthand, the terrible impacts the legislation in New York State has had on Niagara County. It just boggles my mind that some elected leaders look at this and think this is acceptable. I recently watched an interview on one of your news channels. A reporter asked Speaker Heastie about bail reform and raise the age. And part of his answer, again, boggles my mind, when he was told, Sheriff Baxter specifically, was really outspoken about bail reform and raise the age, his answer was, some people don't like change. Some people don't like change. No, some people don't like being victims of crime. That's your answer to the legislation that he championed, is some people don't like change. I don't like that change in my community, and I don't know if any of you like that change in your community, where you're victims because of poor legislation. I can't, again, advocate enough that we need help, and this is the help we need. And I want to thank everybody that's up here, that's standing behind this, trying to get this change done. It's needed, and I hope people make the right decision here and move forward with this, not because I say it, but because the community is asking for it, and the community needs it, and they want to live in safe communities. Thank you. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Senator Borello.
Thanks, Sheriff. Thank you.
With that, I'd like to turn.
Thanks, Sheriff. Thank you.
Thanking my colleague, Senator Helming, for putting this forward. I mean, doing the right due diligence, listening to a broad spectrum of people. That doesn't happen much in Albany. Usually it's the most extreme advocates, they call them the advocates, that represent the most extreme views that have the pen in their hand to craft things like bail reform. And then what do we hear from those folks that pass these things? Don't believe your eyes. Don't believe your eyes when you see crime is spiking. You know, and then they roll out some data from some lapdog organization like the Brennan Center saying everything's just fine. It's not fine. And that's the problem here. Look at what's going on around us. Most recently, Governor Hochul says she's, no, we've given judges discretion. You know who doesn't think they have discretion? Judges. She's trying to convince them that they're wrong, that they're not smart enough to figure out what they did so that they can hold dangerous criminals. That's why you have the victims we've just been speaking about today. There is no judge's discretion. This is just another smoke and mirrors game by the other side of the aisle to pretend that they've done something to change this horrible, damaging law. Even in rural communities that I represent, areas where a court at night where people show up to because they got a speeding ticket, they're seeing spikes in people not showing up for criminal offenses because they don't have to show up. That's the problem. Something needs to change, and that's what the Protect Act is about. And there's this thing, you're only going to put poor people in prison and the rich people are going to go. No, this is about dangerousness. It doesn't matter if you don't have a dollar to your name or you're a billionaire. If you're a danger to society, you'll be kept behind bars using a standard that's set forth that can be used evenly, judiciously. That's what needs to be done. And it's really an insult to the people around us that don't believe your lying eyes, folks. Everything's just fine because the Brennan Center says so. People know that that it's no longer safe. Whether you're riding the subway in New York City or walking down the street in a community in Western New York, people don't feel safe. And if we don't address that, we're never going to be able to prosper here in New York State. The Protect Act is the foundation of restoring confidence in law enforcement, restoring confidence in criminal justice, and restoring confidence that we have a government that takes seriously the job, the number one job, keeping people safe. And until that happens, New Yorkers will continue to suffer. And I'm proud to stand here with a broad cross-section of people. Leader, thank you very much for your leadership on this.
Thank you, my friend.
So just to close, and we'll take questions, I would only ask the media, if you have a question for a specific individual up here, just direct it to that individual. We'll do on topic. If there is off topic, we'll do that afterward. But to close, there was a lot made about the data. And at the risk of, being wrong, because I have a lot of police officers up here. But there's also, as someone who's been in government and politics a long time, I can find you a study or a data point to back up almost any position I take. And the same is true on the other side of the spectrum. But what I would say is the laws we have enacted since 2019, because they've changed the way officers police, there are a number of crimes that are no longer reported because they're not being reported. In some cases, not arrests are being made. The theft you heard about. So we're just locking up the toothpaste, locking up the goods, so that there is no one stealing it. Or if it is stolen, a lot of times these business owners, I'm not even going to waste my time because I know the guy's just going to be back here tomorrow, and now he's going to be angry. And really, it is changing. It is creating almost societal change in how some of these crimes are reported. So when you get the data points, that you have to take that into account. Those data points reflect the sort of new reality of post-bail reform, post-discovery reform, and all the other things that we've been talking about. And on the dangerousness standard, I have heard this now from very smart people, DAs, judges, police officers. We can make a whole mess about a lot of things. Just institute some level, some standard, some metric that everyone knows so that it's transparent and fair and it's applied evenly. But something that I would tell you that the two examples I listed, I know the one was out of state, but I'll use the police officer, the cop that shot the cop that was shot and killed in Queens or New York City, and Amanda Thompson. I would posit to you that were there a dangerousness standard, one or both of those individuals would not have been on the streets to commit those murders. Two people that we know of in these examples might be alive today if we had a standard, because we're talking about not the kid that stole a pack of cigarettes for the first time in his life at 17. We're talking about people who have been in and out of the criminal justice system and have victimized people over and over again being released. I'm just tired of seeing some victim of crime, and you find out the person who was arrested 18 times before. And if you don't think that the average person in Niagara County, in Monroe County, in New York City is at home watching TV going, what the hell is happening? That makes no sense. It doesn't make sense. And so whatever the, when someone tells me carjacking isn't really a big crime, I think the sheriff, and I heard that when someone says that, I got to be honest with you, they've lost me. I'm not on the same plane of reality with that person. If you would say to some, seriously, a serious person, if they would go up in front of the press or anybody else and say, well, carjacking, those aren't really, what's the big deal? Those aren't real crime. If that's the point we're in, then count me on the other side of whatever divide we're on. Because stealing someone's vehicle, a single bomb, we've got to get your kids to school, cars stolen. And if you think someone's stealing a vehicle, by the way, there was a high-speed chase. I was in Monroe County a couple months ago. There was a high-speed chase, car theft, high-speed chase. An older man was killed, 93 years old, was killed by the driver of the car. So it's no longer just a car theft. Now it's vehicular manslaughter. So don't tell me it's not a serious crime. Every crime, you know, all big fires start as small fires. Every career criminal started as a small criminal. I can promise you that. They don't just start out with murder usually. It builds their way up. So that's why you need a dangerousness standard. That's why we need to take the handcuffs off of judges. Again, I want to thank Senator Helming. I want to thank Sheriff Todd Baxter, my colleagues in the legislature, certainly Sheriff Felicetti for hosting. Him and I have had conversations about this for years. I wouldn't say, and I don't always pick up his call when he calls me. I do. But I know when he's going to call, he's going to say, can we do something about this? How do we get something done? We have to get something done. And the point that Senator Helming is doing is trying to craft something that she's saying, and you heard Sheriff Baxter, this isn't everything we want. This isn't everything our conference has advocated for, but our goal is to make people more safe. And if that means we have to do sort of half the pie or a compromise position that comes out of collaboration, that's what people should expect of elected leaders.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.